mean to treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had, but honey, now I
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. What's left of it? Still a little time here if you want to get in. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program. Joining us now, he's our returning champion. Before I'll give him the floor, I'll just leave you with the keywords once again. Minnesota, co-ops, and Somalis. So write them down, wait for them, and then you can check the boxes when you figure it out. But joining us now, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well, sir. Glad to be out of Montgomery and back in beautiful South Baldwin County.
Yeah, you and me both. Well, I finally we knew the dam was going to burst at some point, but a little bit of delay tactics being used by Democrats, but this was kind of expected.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, we wanted to kind of get as close to the line as we could with them and get as much done as we could before, you know, we had to go a cloture route. But I think we're probably to the point where that's going to be necessary. And that was really demonstrated on yesterday afternoon. I got to stand at the mic for 2.5 hours or so and kind of take the filibuster before we realized, hey, we weren't going to have the votes for cloture because a lot of folks had to leave and just move to carry the bill over at the call of the chair. But those three pieces of legislation that were left on the calendar undone will be back on the calendar. I have all the confidence in the world they'll become law, and so we'll get those done. Just have to use the tools in the toolbox that we try to put off using as long as we can, because it does fire up our counterparts on the other side.
Yeah, I guess we started getting some sense of it on Tuesday early in the week, and then yesterday we got our first dose of it. But you're right. A lot of your colleagues had other obligations and probably didn't anticipate such a day, but you feel like be ready to go next week?
Yep. Well, the week after the
That's
break, but we'll be ready to go. And I feel confident again, good confirmation from leadership that we'll get to those and get all of those bills will become law.
All right. I've been teasing it all morning. I'm not even fully sure of what is about to happen here myself, but tell us a little bit about this Minnesota co-ops and the Somalis and how it pertains to Alabama.
So Jeff, I know your listeners and my constituents in particular know I'd like to look at efficient government and government that is accountable to the people. And so I focus on some of these weedy issues that just drive me crazy sometimes. And so we have these cooperative agreements that government can enter into with these cooperatives to purchase goods, materials, and things like that. And it makes the bid process really easy for the bureaucrats, right? And so counties and municipalities have these co-op agreements. The state has these co-op agreements. And what you see is these cooperatives setting up shop in places like Utah and Arizona and Minnesota with, all their Somalis, right? So everybody can check their two boxes there, or three. And that's what bothers me, is that these cooperatives currently don't have to follow Alabama bid law. And it's kind of insidious in that it spreads. And at first it was software. Okay. Well, okay. Maybe there's not, you know, this software in Alabama or whatever, but it started to spread, and it started to spread just because it's just easier for the bureaucrats to not have to worry about complying with advertising, awarding bids based on, the lowest responsible bidder and things of that nature. It's just easier for them to just go grab an HVAC unit off of the Minnesota bid list or whatever, where they've complied with Minnesota bid law, but not the Alabama bid law. And so why do we hamstring Alabama companies? Why do we do that in order to boost we'll go back to Minnesota. Minnesota's economy, where the state of Minnesota is actually making money off of this as opposed to an Alabama company. And so I added an amendment with Senator Chesting's approval on his SB 75 that said, look, in Alabama, if you're going to be an HVAC, you know, you're buying an HVAC unit, you got to do it, you know, according to Alabama bid law in Title 39, right? If you're going to buy materials and equipment under Title 39, the Public Works Law, you have to comply with the competitive bid law of the state of Alabama the awarding authority making the purchase. You have to do that. And so we did that. You know, there are many other sections in there for counties and municipalities, et cetera, for boards of education. We just said, look, you've got to comply with Alabama bid law. We're going to actually use Alabama companies in order to do this. And I was surprised to see opposition from the Ivy administration saying, oh, no, we don't want to do this. That'll be too hard for us to actually operate. And I said, well, good luck selling that, guys. Good luck selling to the people of the state of Alabama that you'd rather support Minnesota's economy, Governor Tim Walz's economy, and his government, and whatever, you know, rampant fraud and corruption they've got going on up there, instead of using the safeguards that are provided for in Alabama bid law. Good luck with that.
Well, give us like an example here. I mean, you know, like where is this applicable? Where would we see this in state government?
So all over the place, but I'm good with examples. So the example is HVAC units, right? And so you can imagine the state, the counties, boards of education, et cetera, buy a lot of air conditioning equipment, okay? Well, currently they can buy from these cooperatives, but those cooperatives don't have to comply with Alabama bid law. And that's two things, right? That's notice requirements, you know, the time that the bid has to be out there so companies actually know about it, keeps there from being these sweetheart deals. And then the other thing that's an important thing, right? It says you have to award based on the lowest responsive and responsible vendor, right? Which means one award per bid, not multiple awards. And so, again, this just is out there to protect Alabama companies. But when you have these exceptions in the statute that allow the use of these out-of-state cooperatives, our Alabama companies either get unbid or they don't get to bid at all because they're not part of this Minnesota cooperative. And so they get sidelined, because it's just easier for the bureaucrats to go to the website on this cooperative and say, ship us this air conditioned unit, instead of going through the process of actually having to follow the bid law, put the bid out, advertise the bid, and see what the number is. They just go, well, what's good in, you know, whatever Tim Walz came up with in Minnesota for bid law is good enough for us, and we'll just use that, and we'll go around Alabama's old bid law. And that's just ridiculous. It needs to come to an end, and with this amendment, it will.
Well, tell me, I mean, could it be exploited? Could it be used or abused, I should say, in an unsavory way?
Sure. I mean, if you got another state that goes out there and they don't have to notice the bids for 30 days so that other companies can actually, you know, bid, right? You have a shortened time frame for advertisement, for instance, or something like that. Yeah, you could have some sweetheart, you know, brother-in-law deal that we sure as heck wouldn't know about in Alabama, right? Because it's in Minnesota. You know, you could have the Somali HVAC company there in Minnesota that gets some kind of sweetheart deal for whatever reason, and then they end up, you know, going around what might be a much lower price for an Alabama company, but we didn't even bother to try. And that's what frustrates me. This is just for the ease of the bureaucracy in order to function and to circumvent the protections provided by Alabama bid law. And I know this is weedy for your listeners, and it's heck is weedy for me, but it's important that we continue to focus on the things that make government efficient, and that we weed out the opportunity for waste, fraud, and abuse. That is something that we have to stay continuously vigilant about, because I can promise you the bureaucrats, they're going to take the easy way out all the time.
Well, it's my observation just in general that I mean, we have tried to avoid, you know, these bids. I mean, you know, the whole proliferation of construction management, and it's like death by a thousand cuts. And at some point, it just seems the trend is to figure out ways around the state's bid laws and having it open in just a fair process.
Exactly. And so you get the government saying, do as I say, not as I do, right? And how patently offensive is that, right? Well, here's the bid law for everybody else, but we want to be able to go around it. And so I'll give credit to the County Commission Association and others that have looked at this amendment, and they're fine with it. Yes, we can comply with Alabama bid law. Yes, we think it's important to comply with Alabama bid law. Keeps businesses and healthy in our community. That's what we want to do. It's just amazing to me that the pushback is coming from the Ivey administration saying, oh, that's going to create a lot of work, or, oh, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to rebid things or bid things and actually comply with the time constraints that are listed in our own statutes. And that just drives me nuts. And that's where we have to make sure that we weed out, we look for waste, fraud, and abuse wherever it is, and we attack it head on, even though it's a little bit complicated and not everybody focuses on it day in and day out. But this is the stuff that drives costs up, man. This is the stuff that when you look at a government building, you go, why does this cost so much? Well, it probably cost so much because we didn't actually have a competitive bid on it, or we didn't actually require that you take the lowest responsible and responsive bidder. You just got it off a list from something that happened in Minnesota or California or Utah, wherever this cooperative is based. And that's not fair to Alabama businesses, and it's not fair to Alabama taxpayers.
Well, and at times it appears to me like that they have someone in mind that they want to award this contract to. And the bid, while, you know, the idea here in principle is to get the best deal for the state and the taxpayers, but a lot of times the state government, they already kind of think this is the people we want to use. We just got to figure out how to get there.
Well, and I'm not saying necessarily that's happening in Alabama, but I think it might be in Minnesota, right? We've seen that in other states. The reason they're using this practice in Alabama is because it's easy. It's just so easy to go, oh, hey, this is on the bid list, check, move on, without having to go through the process and the protections that are inherent in letting and requiring Alabama businesses to use Alabama bid law and bid on these products. And so we don't know if we're getting the best deal or not. We have no idea. We don't know if it's a brother-in-law deal. We don't know if it's something that was only out there, you know, in a public notice for 5 days or 15 days instead of the 30 required by Alabama. We don't know. It's just used because it is a way around the protections provided in current Alabama law. And they've been exempted for a while, and these exemptions continue to proliferate. And it's my job to look out for the people of the state of Alabama, and that's why I'm laser focused on rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse wherever I can.
Well, are the exemptions statutory, or are they just sort of by executive fiat?
They're statutory, and that's what we're trying to roll back here is the statutory exemptions that currently exist. We've just seen it's insidious, and Jeff, this is the thing, you know, whether it's occupational licensing or anything else like that, you just have to continue to be focused on these things and beat them back all over the place. And when I saw Senator Chastain's bill that dealt with, guess what, cooperative agreements and cooperative bidding, I went, this is how we fix this. We can jump in here and we can make this work. And that's exactly what I've done. And lo and behold, who comes out but the Ivey administration saying, oh, no, this is going to be hard. We're going to have to do a lot of work. You should. Your job is to be the people's representative to government, not we're the government. We're here to help. We're going to do things. We're going to tell you peons how this is going to work. No, the protection exists for the rest of us to get the best value for taxpayers' money, not to make it easy on the bureaucrats to buy stuff.
So that's what it is. Now tell me, like, where are we in this process? It's an amendment to Donnie Chastain's bill. Was it an amendment that was passed, or are you still going through that?
Nope, it was an amendment that was passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. The bill's gone to the House. I've just started, you know, it was one that was passed around. Again, I appreciate the County Commission Association working with me on it. The Examiner of Public Accounts, who, guess what, is a true safeguard and guardian of taxpayer dollars. Those folks work for the legislature, by the way, just to be clear. But who got flushed out? Well, it was the Department of Finance and the Governor's Office, and they're the ones that were like, oh, this is going to be hard on us. Well, of course it is, and it's okay. It's okay for it to be hard. It's okay for you to follow the rules. It's okay for you to make sure you get the best value for taxpayer dollars and support Alabama businesses, or at least give them a chance to actually compete as opposed to just cutting them out.
Well, tell me, we'll kind of wrap it up here. 5 days left. What do these 5 days look like? 3 day week next week, and then beyond that's anybody's guess.
Yeah, so I think we'll have two more full weeks of work, probably a three and a five, maybe a three and a three, you know, that'll kind of run out the clock once we get back from this break. But it'll be hot and heavy, and I think you'll see more of those. You know, we've been using the time menu spicing this level, but I think we're going to get into the pretty spicy bills here coming up in the near future. You'll see cloture in the Senate. You'll see us having to, you know, move past our Democrat colleagues on things they don't like to see. You'll see longer days, certainly in the State House, where we're having to methodically use the rules in order to get things passed. And I think you'll see that in the House as well, as they continue to pass bills. Tuesday will be a long day because it's the last day to be able to transmit bills from the House of Origin without unanimous consent. And so that'll be the last day for Senate bills to really get out, and the same thing in the House. And then once that happens, it's all House bills in the Senate and all Senate bills in the House.
Well, then, on these, are there any more, all the deals that you could have been made where if you wanted to cut a deal with Bobby Singleton or get some Democrat bills to the floor where, hey, if y'all do this, then you're not going to get your, is that time passed?
I hope not. I mean, I remain hopeful, and I do think that while we will have to have some of those days that are just a long procedural slog where it's 20 minutes on this, an hour on this, cloture, 20 minutes, cloture vote, that those things in and of themselves, especially before you get the BIR and the budgets have passed, just they take an hour plus per bill, and there are only so many hours in the day. And so to the extent there's a way to get some compromise to put some Democrat bills on the calendar, we may be able to get more passed if we didn't. But the key is going to be try to keep that communication, but have our colleagues on the other side understand we have a supermajority and we are prepared to use it. And so that is probably the posture we're going to be in when we get back.
Senator, got to leave it there, but thanks for making time. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks so much for having me. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Birmingham.